It's not on the screen, it's here for those who want to have printouts. There are three pages in each set. Ya ekaha avarnaha bahudha shakti yogat varnan anekan nihitartho dadhati vichaiti chanti vishvamadau sa deva sano buddhya shubhaya samyunakto. So we see that it's not regular. Sa eko varno bahudha shakti yogat varnananekam nihitartho dadhati. He who is one and without hue, without varna, avarna, but has ordained manifoldly many hues by the yoga of his force, and holds within himself all objects, and in him the universe dissolves in the end. That Godhead was in the beginning. May he yoke us with a good and bright understanding. So it's like Savitri Gayatri Mantra, yes? Sano buddhya shubhaya samyunakto dhiyo yo nav prachodayat. The same meaning. Ya eka, the one who is alone, avarna, without colors, bahudha shakti yogat varnan anekan tadhati. The one who holds or establishes many varnas by this yoga of Shakti, Shakti Yoga. Can you imagine such Shakti Yoga? We speak about Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, but there is also Shakti Yoga. So by his Shakti Yoga, he establishes many colors. And he is Nihitartha. It's a Bahubrihi Kumpat, whose meanings are established within. Within him all the meanings are established, hidden, held within. Interesting, yeah? Nihitartha, such a name, with the object which is hidden, established within. He is the one. Tadeva agnis, tadadityas, tadvayus, tad uchandramah, tadeva shukram, tad brahma, tad apas, tad prajapatih. That alone is the fire, and that the sun, and that the wind, and that too the moon. That is the luminous. That the brahma, that the waters, that the father and lord of creatures. Now one can wonder why to say all that, because for the mind that makes, there is no difference. If your everything is that, so the point talking is not anything. The mind wants to know what is what, and not that all that is that. But there is interesting for those who have this Vedic vision, that alone is the fire. That the sun, that the wind, that too the moon, that is the luminous, that the Brahma, that the waters, that the father and lord of creatures. So the lord of creatures, Brahman, waters, fire, wind, is one. Be that. Now if you can reconcile this in your mind, something will happen to you. Either you will open up or you will say, oh, this is all rubbish. I also can talk like this. But if you take it...
And you put it, you try to put it in connection with Shakti Yoga, what is this right then? It's
yes.
Not only the mental understanding, but the Shakti.
Well, Shakti is also mind, yes. Mm-hmm. Also mental. Mental is not something separate from all this. So, that's the problem, yes?
But that means, in a way, what he wants to say, that there are certain... Later on, you could even call it mentally categories. that this being is not just a being, flat being. It has many faculties, many...
Right. And that's what he said at the beginning. He has no varna, but many varnas he establishes. The one whose meanings are held within. Now, he has all these qualities within, and he will, how to say, realize them without. He will bring them out. And he is alone all this.
So if he says that alone is the fire, does he not also want to say that you can also realize as the fire?
Right, exactly. You see, it makes sense. After all.
Is it possible that this second verse has to do with what we have learned before about these four directions? The moon on the east and the sun on the north?
Very true. This is the very Vedic vision of Agni, Vayu and Aditya. It's the three beings, three essences of our existence, of the essence of our physical existence, the energy of our vital existence, and the energy of our mental existence.
And also the feminine is included in this because of
the it is feminine altogether. This is all she, it is by her she. Yoga. Everything is done. He does it by her yoga. It is not, he cannot do it without her. He can't manifest himself. Tadeva Shukram, Tad Brahma, Tad Apas, Tad Prajapatih. There is no contradiction. He is the Father, and he is the waters, and he is everything else. Tvam Stri, Tvam Puma, Asi, Tvam Kumara, Utava Kumari. Thou art the woman.
Just a minor question. What does this word Kumar?
We will come to this. We are going straight on to it. It's the next thing which we will read. We are already reading about Kumara. So thou art the woman and thou the man. Thou art a boy and again a young virgin. So Kumara is a young boy and Kumari is a young woman. So you are a woman, he says, you are a man. Now, Margaret, we can rejoice. This finally we found the text which says directly who is he. He is the woman. The woman stands first, notice in the text, not the second. You are the woman, they says. Brothers, sisters and brothers of America, you are a man. You are Kumara and you are Kumari. Now here there is a difference, yes. Tvam jirno dandena vanchasi tvam. You are old, worn out, walking with a stick. And you are born with many faces, looking from all the directions. And it's a beautiful image. If you see the Lord born with many faces, looking with many faces, you see so many people looking at you. This is Him and nobody else. It is His look. It is He who is born here. We are so many people crowded in Pondi. We want to have no people. But this is Him looking at you everywhere, from every corner. Vishwatom. Thou becomes born of the world is full of thy faces. The world is full of thy faces.
It's amazing, to open this wise consciousness when you see the inauguration of the Obama. How millions of people there made this whole world. It's amazing. I mean,
not only Obama, yes.
And I mean, it doesn't matter there, but when you see a mass of human beings together, thousands of or the latest figures of this alien coming together for the
Well, for India, it's not a surprise. Small crowd.
Kumbh Mela.
Kumbh Mela.
Millions of people, and then there's all this old world.
нилах, патангах, харитах, логатакшах, традит гарбха, ритава, самудрах, анади мат твам вибхутвена вартасе, ято джатани бхуванани вишва. So Nilah, thou art the blue bird, and the green and the scarlet-eyed, the womb of lightning, and the seasons and the oceans. Thou art that which is without beginning, and thou movest with thy pervasive extension, whence all the worlds are born. Nilah Patangah, the blue bird, Haritah Lohitaksha, the golden or the green, Lohita, red, Aksha, with red eyes. Tajit Garbha, whose womb is Tadit, lightning. Ritavah Samudrah, the seasons of the truth and the oceans. Anadimat, the one who has no beginning, Tvam Vibhutvena Vartase, you are becoming expanded, yeah? With the greatness you grow without that one who has no beginning. Yato Jatani Bhuvanani Vishwa, from whom all these worlds are born. You can have an image of it. The one without beginning, but he grows. How come that he has no beginning, he is nowhere, nothing, and he grows, from whom all these worlds are becoming?
Expanding.
Expanding from where? He is no beginning. From where expanding?
No Big Bang.
No Big Bang. And the next is interesting. Ajam Eka. Lohita Shukla Krishna Bhavi Prajah Srijamanam Sarupa. Oh, here we have it. Ajo Yeke Jushumana Nushete Jahatienam Bhukta Bhogam Ajonya. There is one unborn, white and black and red, who is ever bringing forth many creatures with forms, and her one unborn loves and cleaves to and lies with her, another unborn abundance when all her enjoyments have been enjoyed. Now look at this beautiful. What is interesting here, what is that? Ajam, it is she. She is unborn. Ajam Ekam, she alone is unborn. Lohita Shukla Krishna, she is red, white and dark. This red, white and dark is three gunas, yes? There is sattva, rajas and tamas. Bhavi Praja, Srijamanam Sarupa, she the creator of many creatures together with their form. It is her, it's all you see, accusative case. It is her, ajo yekah, he, unborn, alone, jushamanah, happy with her, yes? Anushete, lies together with her, to enjoy with her the relation. Jahati ena, leaves her. Bhukta bhogan, when everything is enjoyed, ajo anyach, another unborn. There are three unborns. There is unborn she, there is unborn he, who enjoys the fruit, and there is unborn he, who is not partaking of her fruit. There is a dynamism here. Just look at this dynamism. One unborn and another unborn, they enjoy their company together. And once all the enjoyment is enjoyed, the unborn, another unborn, is leaving her. This is it. All is here, said. The thing is that Prakriti, the Shakti, she is infinite. She is unborn. And Purusha, who is enjoying, whether he is also unborn, he is also infinite. And there are two Purushas. One is involved, another is uninvolved. The part of involved Purusha enjoys with Prakriti every movement. He gives himself to her to drive him, to use him. She is dancing on his belly. Yes, you remember this beautiful picture in The Secret Knowledge? Came to Secret Knowledge. The relation of he and she.
This whole wide world
is only he and she. So this is the knot that ties together the stars. It's another line and so on. So these two unborn realities, it is Sankhya equation. It's a first Sankhya. The infinite Prakriti and infinite Purusha. They come together, and when he involves himself into enjoyment, he comes out from her free again, unborn, as he is unborn from the beginning, when the enjoyments are over. When he already enjoyed everything, all the manifestation, he becomes free. It's an evolutionary vision. He has to come out from her involvement into her. He has to grow through the unborn. The unborn is growing through birth, through her unborn, becoming the unborn.
And he is a consciousness, but the consciousness always through the experience, expands in what has become free again.
Yes, he is free to become free. He is growing through her. And that's the kind of a beautiful statement. I found this very fascinating. Especially bhukta bhoga. When the bhogas, it's a bahugrihi compound, when the bhogas are enjoyed, then he leaves her.
It's later for me, for only sense when he is a consciousness, she the force, and consciousness force displayed in every human being and in evolution how it's developed.
Yeah. But this is, yeah, it's another name for consciousness and force. She is consciousness, yeah, as higher Prakriti. And she is force. And he is something being, somewhere being, whose consciousness creates this world for him to know himself in. So if I shift a little beyond, we will see that this Sankhya equation of him as consciousness and her as force is applicable only partially. Because there is higher Prakriti. And it is also she.
Yeah, for me, see, the question, every person, I do also the evolutionary process. So the moment I recognize the more consciousness is working, and guiding, there's also another force always coming.
Yes. No, for us, practically, it's very useful to see that he is consciousness and she is force.
Yes.
And it's obvious that we can use that for ourselves. But if you step out into that he is unborn and she is unborn, and he is going through her unborn, then you have something else. There is no more this paradigm of simplicity of force and consciousness. She is consciousness. And that's what difficult to understand. And later it's nearly impossible to understand, especially in post-Vedic period, where Shiva is identified with Chit, yes, with consciousness, more or less. And she is with force. It's all tantric tradition later. Purusha is a witness and Prakriti is a force. But there is another paradigm,
so Para-Prakriti. He's the the being and she is the consciousness.
Ah, she is the consciousness who brings his awareness to him differently about himself.
Through the
force is the part. The force is actually is his being perceived by her as such or as different. That becomes the force. The force is nothing but reflection of consciousness on his own being. There are only two, being and consciousness, satchit. They give birth to force and to joy, because conscious existence is joy. There is no other definition of existence. More conscious you are, more joy you have. There is nothing else to be enjoying here. Only consciously be. That's what we don't understand. We want to get something, to have something, which is absolutely impossible to do, actually. That's why we suffer.
Consciously to enjoy. What is the reference to Krishna in Sanskrit?
Krishna is the dark, yeah, he black. Lohita, yes, Lohita red, Shukla white, and Krishna black, or blue, dark blue. These are three gunas. She is of that quality. She is unborn, she is one, and she is of three colors. Red, white, blue. Rajas, Sattva, and Tamas. Producing many beings together with their forms. Alone, he sleeps with her, enjoying that relation, and leaves her when all the enjoyments are over, again unborn, another. And what this another, Anyah, is very interesting. Why it is Anyah said? Because he, through that enjoyment, with her, he gets another being. That's what he wanted. He wanted to become another. It was his purpose of creation. He wanted to become another. And here this word is used at the end, Anyah, another he becomes. He grows into another status of himself. He knows himself anew. He becomes many.
So that means it's the child here in the being. We're going to see he has become the child.
He has become a child, and he has become himself another. And this imagery is used in the Veda often. A mother keeps the fires in her womb and not allowing him, not giving him to his father, not delivering him to heaven. The mother, she keeps him in a tight in her womb and is not permitting him. Is not giving him to her father, but when she grows and becomes mature, she delivers him as a white steed in front of the days, and he becomes the Lord. Yes, it's a beautiful image that he is another after all the enjoyments are enjoyed. And that is exactly what is happening in this evolutionary process with us. We are exhausting our enjoyments. And once they are exhausted, we are ready to be born into another quality. And not otherwise. You can't really cut it off unless you are really cutting off the whole manifestation. And if you want to grow within manifestation to another quality, you should exhaust the possibilities. And somebody, somewhere in Ajanta Mother speaks about this, and I was always surprised to read this passage. She says, look how people are running after the desires, how much they want to realize all their desires. But in this absolutism of realizing those desires, there is the truth. They want to absolutely realize all possible possibilities. And they do not know that it is a driving force of evolution to exhaust the possibilities. It looks ridiculous, of course, from the point of view of sannyasa, where you have to renounce the world for the getting to the spirit. But if you see what is happening, why it is happening so, it's just to first go to the end of possibilities. And once you are at the end, you see that it is not attracting you anymore. Neither this nor that. That which was a hook somewhere for you, or maybe that is the way, maybe that I will later do. That later is not coming anymore. It's gone. It's done. Finished. Does it make sense? I'm sure many of you have experienced this. When you come to the end of your possibilities, of those desires you had to have, like to build a house, to have a nitty-gritty everything there in the house, you had. You had one house, you had second house, you had families, one, two, three. You married three times, you had children of different kinds, different families, different continents, different climates. And then what? What else different would you have? No, enough is enough. Then you turn towards something which is more valuable. And you're looking for something which is of that constant nature within yourself and others. You are not easily taken by these sweets.
Yeah, but when you look at our will, even if you try to do the force, or like you or me, when I see how then the force is also proceeding forward. This and this and this and this. I mean, the evolution is evolution, and it's also written that always in the evolution always new consciousness steps are needed. It's not only from the outside. It's that we are sitting and learning, here's also a force.
Samane Vrikshe. Now we coming to this beautiful Dvasuparna Suyuja Sakhaya. Samanam Vriksham Parishasvajate Tayoranyah Pippalam Svaduati Anashnanam Yo Abhichakashiti. This is the famous verse from Katha Upanishad and from the Rig Veda. Two winged birds cling about a common tree, comrades, yoke fellows. And one eats the sweet fruit of the tree, the other eats not, but watches. These are two unborn. These unborn which were met before. One is involved in the enjoyment with Prakriti, and other is not. One is watching the Purusha, and the other is involved here. It's another verse from Rig Veda, yes? But here, the first verse was better, because he is rising out of that, out of her. He is only watching her. Samane vrikshe purushoni magno anishaya shochati muhyamanah jushtam yada pashyati anyam isham Asya mahimanam iti vita shoka. The soul upon a common tree is absorbed, and because he is not Lord, grieves and is bewildered. Anishaya, it's by this anisha he is bewildered. Shochati muhyamana. But when he sees and cleaves to that other, who is the Lord, Jushtam, Yada Pashyati, Anyam Isham, he knows that all is his greatness and his sorrow passes away from him. This is the way to liberation. Now, the one Purusha who is involved with Prakriti, when he is of course bewildered by her energies, and he cannot see who is who and what is what, and he sees in this battlefield only blood and pain and suffering. But when he sees him, a glimpse of him, his sorrow passes away in the midst of his living, in the body, in the battlefield. He has no more sorrow. It's what happened to Arjuna at the end. He was completely free from sorrow. He said, tell me what to do and I'm ready to. That's what happened. Richo akshare parame dhyoman yasmin deva adhi vishve nishedukh yastam naveda kim richa avishyati yakitad viduste me samasate. In the highest immutable heaven, where all the gods have taken up their session, there are the verses of the Rig Veda and he who knows him not, what shall he do with the Rik? Rik is the Rigvedic hymn. They who know that, lo, it is they who thus are seated. Now, it's a very strange place for this verse to appear, because it relates to the speech, to the sacred hymn. The hymns are located in the highest heaven, Paramevyoman Akshare, in the imperishable, Yasmin, in which Deva Adhi Vishve Nishedu, all the gods are seated. There, these verses are. Yastam Naveda, the one who doesn't know this, Kim Richaka Rishyati, what he will do with this Rik, with this hymn. If he doesn't know that, he didn't realize that. What's the point of reading this? Ya ittat vidura, te ime samasati. And those who know that, they indeed are becoming samasati. They are becoming composed. They are becoming unified, harmonized, realized, fulfilled. Why they are becoming fulfilled? Because these riks are of that dynamic truth. They are not against this embodiment, they include it into their realization. So you are becoming composed of both. There is nothing for you to know. Okay, so we stop here, and then we will continue and finish next time the whole chapter. It's up to 22. So we will finish with the mantra. Om Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu, Mavidvishavahai, Om Shanti.